Looked at Jesus' birth through Christmas. Looked at his baptism and his temptation during a Sunday school lesson. We got into the Sermon on the Mount. We kind of camped out there for a little bit. The salt and the light, walking in Jesus' footprints, gaining his righteousness. Looked at things like the mighty storm. And Jesus was asleep. And fishermen were scared for their life on a lake that they had lived on. And they wake Jesus up and he shows them there's security in these footprints. We saw how Jesus called Matthew a sinner. I mean, a sinner, not just a sinner. You know, we won't admit it openly, but there are different levels of sinners in our brains. And Matthew is a sinner. Okay, I learned something about woman talk. Guys, if you haven't learned this yet, then I want to help to inform you guys a little on something. When women say the same word twice, like back to back, it gains a whole new meaning. Doesn't it? Remember back in high school, do you like him or do you like him? Women, right? Means something completely different. Was it a kiss or was it a kiss? So we talk about Matthew, the author of this book. He wasn't just a sinner. He was a sinner. And Jesus invited him into his perfect plan. And look what happened. He wrote a book that we've been studying for months. We looked at parables. How Jesus said, this is what the kingdom is like. In your Sunday school class, you looked at Peter's great confession. I believe the transfiguration was in Sunday school as well. As we continued looking at parables up here, parables that helped us to understand that we have a choice in this whole matter. Parables like the 10 virgins. Parables like the parable of the tenants, where the one with five came back with five. The one with two came back with, well, the one with five came back with five more. The one with two came back with two more. And the one with one just buried his one. And Jesus is showing you have a choice to be involved in my work or to not be involved. I mean, we see this creeping up through the whole gospel of Matthew. God has a perfect plan. And his perfect plan is going to happen no matter what. You have a choice to join in that perfect plan or to not be a part of that plan. As we come into our Easter time, in Sunday school, last week you compared Judas to Peter, and Peter to Jesus, compared them and contrasted them. God had a perfect plan. You can choose to be a part of it. You can choose to be against it. You can choose to be an enemy of Christ. Or you can repent and choose to be a disciple of Christ. Last week in here, we had a very simple message. And that was that through Jesus' death on the cross, we will not see a greater love shown from anyone in our entire life than the love that Jesus showed for us. Now today, as we close this book in Matthew 28, it says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. I love these words. He is not here. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. It's empty. There's no one there. See for yourself. Then go quick. Go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So they go to an empty tomb, and the angel gives them the news, the best news that they could have ever heard. Now, I imagine these women had a lot of questions. Put yourself in their shoes, if you remember that from one of our messages. If you missed it, you missed your preacher in high heels on stage. See, you can't miss Sundays. You miss some things that you'll never get to see again. I promise you. But I'm sure they had questions. Think about some of the questions that might have been going through their mind. I mean, this was Jesus. All the amazing things that he did. And by this time, he had been dead for 2 days. Going on 3 days. 2 days, according to our standards. But on a Jewish calendar, it was 3 days. And they go to the tomb with their heads flooded with questions, wonders, maybe even doubts. And all of their questions were silenced by the simple term, he has risen. That answers a lot of questions. I don't care who you are. If you're Mary or as Matthew says, the other Mary. If you're Mary Magdalene or the other Mary. Or if you're, you know, Joe or Bill or Sarah. Doesn't that answer a lot of questions? This morning, as we share in the sunrise service, we come with a lot of questions. We come with a lot of things going on in our life, a lot of doubts. I want us to simply slow down for a moment and realize that all those questions can be silenced this morning by believing, accepting, reaccepting, being reminded of that small statement that is so powerful, that we as Christians, I mean, we base our whole life off of this principle. This is where it all comes down. This is what makes Jesus different than any other man that claimed to be God in history. Any other religion. No other religion has a man that came back from the dead. This is what sets us apart. This is what makes us different. And this is what calms our minds. This is what gives us peace. This is what gives us hope. He has risen. And then what the angel says next, I think, is very important for us to catch, because sometimes we get stuck there. And I think that's a majestic place to be, and that has its purpose in life, to sit and be still and know that God is the only answer we'll ever need. But the angel says something that I don't want us to miss this morning, especially after we've looked over the whole gospel of Matthew, and we've seen this concept, and Matthew ties it together here at the end so beautifully. The angel says, you've seen it. You've experienced it. You have acknowledged the truth of what I've said. Now, go. Yes. He says, go. Go and tell the others. And I think what's really interesting here, and something that we ought to note, is that he says that Jesus isn't here. Where has he gone? He's gone on ahead of you. And so as I take this and I bring this into modern concept, into your life today, into your life on Monday, into your life next week, know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your risen Savior has gone on ahead of you, and he is revealing himself to people that you have been called to go to. That's where he is. Relish, bask in the truth this morning that Jesus is risen from the dead. Enjoy that this morning. Praise God for that this morning. But as soon as we step foot out of this building, we should hear that simple word with two letters, go. And the reason is because Jesus has gone on ahead of us. And he's revealing himself to so many other people. So many more people than just you. And yes, you're special, but they're special too. And they're not going to recognize Jesus unless there's someone there to help them to see. That's Jesus. And that's your job. That's our job. That's what the angel told them. And if that wasn't enough, as we continue on through the story, it says, so the women hurried from the tomb, hurried from the tomb. Please take note of that. Afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to do what? To tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. It's Jesus himself. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell. Okay, so the angel said go. Jesus is now saying go and tell the others. Tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. So they go on and we skip forward to this scene, this last scene that Matthew has in his gospel. And the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Third time that word shows up in this chapter. When they saw him, they worshiped him. All right, so we have the same pattern happening. They worship him. They relish. They bask in the fact that they have a risen Lord. They have a risen Savior. They worship him. But some doubt it. And that's all right. We're here. We doubt too sometimes. I still worship when I doubt, though. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The book of Matthew. It says, here is your Savior. Here is God's perfect plan. Join in it and go. Take the truth that you celebrate this morning and go with it. Take the Lord and Savior that you know exists in your heart. Even though you have days of doubt, you still worship the God that has been good to you for so many years. Take that and go because he's already gone on ahead of you. Celebrate the risen Savior today. And share what you know. Go.